Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask now that as we come and open our hearts and lives before it, may you bear good fruit for your kingdom and your glory. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? It would be great if you can open up to Job chapter 38. We come to the second last of the sermons in Job, and to the passage, Job 38, which is one of my favourite passages in all the Bible. And so I'm glad I got a chance to speak on it. But even though it's one of my favourite passages and I'm glad to speak on it, I have a question for you. How comfortable are you? I'm not talking about how comfortable you are on the pews. I know the answer to that already. How comfortable are you with not always knowing the answers? How comfortable are you with not always having the answers? How comfortable are you with mystery in your life? For those of you who are scientific, a little bit like me, logical thinking, not always very comfortable. For those of you who are more artistic, philosophical, you're in your ballpark. As we approach the end of the book of Job, we see that Job wants 15 minutes, as it were, to plead his case before God. If you have read through with us, as we've been going through the sermons on Job, if you've read through all the discourses of Job, you would see that Job has argued that he doesn't believe he has done anything to deserve all this. We actually looked at that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? We were suffering and sin, and was there any connection between the two? But what Job seems to believe is that maybe someone has accused him falsely. Little does he know what the enemy has been saying. But maybe someone has accused him falsely, and God has acted on that false information. That is, someone has said something about Job that is not right, and God has therefore acted on it. And we see that in many places, but particularly in chapter 31. If you put your finger in chapter 38, because we're coming back there in a second, but have a look with me at chapter 31 and look at all these "if I have" questions. There's one in verse 5. "If I have walked in falsehood, or my foot has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me in honest scales, and he will know that I am blameless." There's more, but jump to verse 9, there's another one. "If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbour's door." And then in verse 13, there's another one. "If I have denied justice to my men servants and maid servants when they had a grievance against me." And so on and so forth. Throughout this chapter, there's all these "if I's," "if I," "if I have done this," "if I have done this," "if I have done this." And Job wants 15 minutes to plead his case. And you see that quite clearly in verse 35. "Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment in writing. Surely I would wear it on my shoulder. I would put it on like a crown. I would give him an account of my every step." It's like a court case, as it were. And Job wants the accuser to put his indictment forward, to put the charges forward, for Job to then be able to defend himself and God to rule. But does God actually have to answer Job's case? There are times in our lives, don't we, when we want God to explain himself. "Why did you do it that way, Lord? Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why, Lord?" Do we really expect God to explain himself? Should Job expect God to explain himself? Well, I don't think he does have to explain himself. But as part of his mercy and grace to Job, And in order to honor Job, who is a righteous man, God actually does answer Job, even though he doesn't have to. And we see God's answer in chapter 38 and following. But it may be not an answer that we necessarily expected, and it might not be an answer that we necessarily would like to have. Have a look what it says in chapter 38. And just look at the way it begins. Chapter 38, verse 1. The Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me." I don't know about you, but that's a really ominous tone for what's about to come, isn't it? What sort of answer is it when it starts with, "Brace yourself like a man and tell me"? And instead of answering Job, God actually asks Job questions. Different types of questions, but basically two types. He often asks, "Who is this that darkens my counsel?" And he also asks questions about creation. "Job, who created everything? Job, do you understand everything in creation? Job, do you keep it going? Job, do you realize how intricate and creative creation is? Job, just remind me again, who started all this?" There actually is a bit of a satirical edge to God's questions, but there's also quite a strong edge to God's questions also. And just consider the enormity of the questions. In fact, you might want to just listen. If you want to, you can close your eyes and just listen to some of the questions that God has for Job. "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? Have you ever given orders to the morning? Or shown the dawn its place? Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What is the way to the abode of light? And where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for the days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons? Do you know the laws of heaven? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, 'Here we are'? Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. A number of years ago, I was at the surf, and I was body surfing at the time, and you know what happens every now and then. You get dumped. That's part of body surfing, isn't it? You get dumped, and you go under, and you roll around on the sand and all that. And then you sort of get up, and you cough and splutter and get the water out of your eyes again, and away you go again. Except this time another wave hit me and kept me down for a little bit longer, which is normally not too much of a problem. That's happened a fair few times too. But then there was another wave which kept me down again, and then another wave came after that. There was this set of waves, one after the other, which kept me tossing and kept me down. And I started to panic as I started to realise I was running out of air because I hadn't taken that bigger breath. And eventually I got up and I took that gasp of air. I have never, ever felt so completely overwhelmed as that day in the surf. I was at the mercy of those waves, and it didn't matter how much I struggled, I could not get back up to the top until the waves stopped. And that's the picture I have of Job as he stands there with question upon question upon question, wave after wave after wave after wave from God. Where were you, Job? Do Job? Have you seen Job? Can you, Job? He's unable to come up for air, as it were, like I was in the surf that day. There's a brief reprieve. You can actually see it in chapter 40. In chapter 40, verse 3, then Job answered the Lord. So this is after two chapters of questions. Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." But then look at verse 6. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. "Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you." And the sets of waves start again and again for another two chapters. Is that fair of God? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? Is that fair of God? Should God have maybe, endured the mercy rule? You know, in a boxing fight, when one person in the fight is just completely overwhelming the other one, and the ref just calls an end to it. Mercy. Doesn't seem to be any mercy rule here, does there? This is a complete mismatch of the grandest scale. Super heavyweight against, I don't even know what the lowest weight is, bantamweight, featherweight, something. It's a mismatch. And actually, that's the point. It is a mismatch. I remember when my boys were young, they would ask me, "Dad, why does..." whatever. And then you'd fill in the blank. And so I would try and give an answer to why that would be acceptable for them to understand. And then they would reply with, "But why?" Which I would then try and give the same answer back. And then they would reply with, "But why?" And then I might change the answer slightly because maybe they haven't understood a particular word or such. And they would reply with, "But why?" And then I would give the most complicated scientific or philosophical answer I could possibly think of with the biggest words I knew. And they never said a thing in response. It's a little bit different now. But you see, it's like that. God is actually revealing himself. Job's got nothing to say in response. That's actually the point. God's not actually expecting Job to answer these questions because he knows Job can't answer these questions. He knows that Job can't understand what he's completely talking about. That's the point. And that's why Job responds the way he does. In chapter 42, look at the way he responds. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You answered, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know.'" God questions, and Job responds with the words, "I spoke of things I do not understand and things too wonderful for me to know." One of the tough parts of the book of Job is that Job never gets an answer. He never gets an answer. But he does get an answer in the sense that God is God. God's ways are either completely hidden to Job or revealed in part. And it's the same with us. They are either completely hidden, God's ways are either completely hidden or revealed in part. Whichever way, they can never be thwarted, as it says. And I can't help but think that that's exactly what we see at Christmas, isn't it? Don't we see at Christmas partly the plan of God and it beginning to be revealed? You know, in many ways, the mystery of salvation has been hidden for thousands of years. Yeah, it was revealed in part at different times. You read the book of Genesis chapter 3, and you will see there in Genesis chapter 3, God speaks to Satan and says, an offspring of this woman Eve will rise up and will crush your head. And that's all you get. It's as vague as that. A bit later on, during the rest of the history of Israel and throughout the prophets, you get a little bit more revealing of God's plan of salvation. But not completely. The Apostle Paul speaks of the mystery of salvation. Not that it can't be understood, but that it was not understood and has now been made known. And God's plans can never be thwarted. And what's really interesting, though, is what we need to know, we do know. You see, we needed to know that one night, some 2,000 years ago, a child was born. We need to know that that child was the Lord Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. We need to know that he lived and worked and walked this planet in our place. And we need to know that he died for us. And we need to know that he rose again. And we need to know that he sends his Holy Spirit. And we need to know he's coming back. See, what we need to know, we know. The rest of it, the rest of God's plans, are either going to be completely hidden or only revealed in part. But what we do need to know, God is very clear about, that in Jesus there is forgiveness, that in Jesus there is purpose, that in Jesus there is healing, in Jesus there is peace, and in Jesus there is eternal life. And friends, I need to ask you, God is clear about that. Are you clear about that? Do you know that? Have you responded to that? Is that what you trust in? Or are we trusting in our own goodness and our own plans? Sadly, they will be thwarted, but God's can never be. And if you're not sure, or if the answer is no, that's not what I trust in, then friends, that's a conversation that you and I need to have. And I will have that conversation anywhere, anytime, anyhow. Just let me know. We need to be clear on what God has been clear about. If you want the executive summary of the book of Job, it's something like this, in my words. Job, I am God, and you are not. And that is the end of the discussion. We will never fully understand all of God's plans, if any. But what we do know. We do know the mystery of salvation. It's found in the Lord Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the one we have to respond to. Let me pray for us. Father, as we consider those questions that you asked Job, and when we put ourselves in those shoes, we realize too that we would be speaking words without knowledge. We too cannot answer any of those questions. We too were not around when you laid the foundations of the earth. We too don't know where the storehouses of hail and snow are kept. to speak when we should listen. And yet, Father, we can see that you have clearly spoken in your Son Jesus. And even though the rest of your plans may be completely hidden or revealed only in part, we see your plan for us. And so, Father, I pray for us as we gather here today, may we be people who indeed have responded to that plan, to that mystery of salvation, that way, that truth, that life, the Lord Jesus. And may we do so in such a way that brings glory to your name. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.